You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And both teams played well. A couple hits dropped in. What are you going to do? They lose in like stupid, annoying, avoidable ways. Bad bullpen usage. Sloppy play. Base running that appears to be right out of Bad News Bears. You tweeted out something that like is not really much of an exaggeration, that there are probably better coached and better, more fundamentally sound Little League or Pony League teams around the area. That also is disheartening and demoralizing. When the players look, like, what does Ke'Bryan Hayes have to play for? He signed his contract. Like, he just appears to be a guy that just is going through the motions, right? Where's been the Brooks Robinson-level defense from him?
He had one brain fart in a game. Okay, it happens. He had a second, and there were no repercussions.
Because who are you going to replace him with? Like, what are the usually?
I don't know. The manager should at least be like, "We're going to lose this game. I might as well send a message here and get this guy out of the game. It doesn't look like he wants to be here
now." John Russell.
There's none of that.
John Russell got mocked because he was so monotone and so quiet and so like really not much of a talker that like people just said, "Is this guy literally awake?" Derek Shelton can be very affable and personable when he wants to be, but he is just as asleep at the switch as Russell ever was at his worst.
I don't think he's a proactive manager in games. I think he's a step slow and step behind most of the time. I think he's got zero backbone whatsoever. I don't think, this is my observation, I don't think the players respect him. They don't play like they do. I don't think the Pirates players respect Derek Shelton whatsoever as a manager. And by the way, why would they? He's got, I saw this in the same Dejan story, where he quoted the veteran scout that told him Ben Cherington wouldn't recognize Mickey Mantle from Mickey Mouse. But in that same story, in 5+ years with one team, no manager in Major League Baseball history has had a worse win percentage than Derek Shelton.
Which is mind-bending.
So why would they respect him? Why would they think, all right, not that managers are the end-all, be-all?
There's never been consequences for actions. I mean, Hurdle, and I remember this kind of like chafed some people, but other people loved it. He punished McCutchen for not running out, a pop-up?
Foul ball, I think.
No, it was a pop-up or something. But
I thought it was a ball that stayed fair that McCutchen thought was foul.
Either way, he was willing to like at least give like a public slap on the wrist to his best player. And whether McCutchen liked that or not in the moment, or whether you think Hurdle was right or wrong to do it, given who McCutchen was to them even at that point, something happened.
Donnie, is this the most depressed you've ever been about him? You used to be glass half full Pirates guy. I remember I tried to speak to that personality that you have earlier in the year, and you're like, yeah, I'm not feeling it anymore.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I don't know if it's because, you know, the bad teams that I watched as a kid, I was still just a kid. I'm watching players like Tyke Redman and Chris Duffy and
some deep cuts.
Jack Wilson's on Web Gems every single night. But the thing is, it at least looked like those guys cared about what they did between the lines when they were on the field, innings 1 through 9. It looked like there was an actual give a crap from the dudes on the field. And I'm not one that's going to call out a pro athlete's effort, but we do just see things from this team that really makes you wonder what in the hell is going on. Like people joke all the time And you said it a few minutes ago. People joke like, oh, my little league team has better fundamentals than the Pirates. And that's something that I used to laugh at. And my dad would say that all the time, like, oh, when my 10-year-old team was playing, we would never make the mistakes these guys do. And now I'm inclined to believe these people because that's what it looks like. That is what it looks like when you watch them. They just look lifeless.
They're a terrible combination of what you just said, lifeless, and that's on the manager, and not good enough to get away with occasionally being lifeless because they're not talented enough, which is squarely on the general manager.
But just to play a little bit of devil's advocate, if that's the biggest fault I had or the biggest issue with this team, then you might be able to, convince yourself or talk yourself into the idea that if you get a change in leadership, that would go away and they would be a more well-disciplined team. I think this is so far gone, and this is why I think I'm with the guys in that clubhouse. This is the most depressed I've been because there's such a void of talent here in addition to the team that seems to be, when people don't want to be at their job and are at a dead-end job and are just counting down the hours and minutes until they can punch out and go home. That's what they looked like yesterday. I've seen it because I've been that guy before. Not with you, of course, Melzy, but in other walks of life. Been there. I know that feeling. I know it when I see it. It's not just that. They're so void of talent. The longer this goes on with this regime, you're wasting days. You're wasting time. And then, once they leave, because they'll never win here, the next regime that comes in has to figure out, okay, I got to clean up this mess. I got to pour sawdust over all the puke. I got to go plunge the toilets. I got to go do all that. And how long is that going to take? Even if it's done correctly.
Well, if it's
done
correctly,
that's the scary thing to me.
But if it's done correctly, it also means trading away Skeens.
Maybe. It could be. Because
where's
what's the timeline on that?
And where's the talent? Where's the minor league talent?
That's why it's so depressing, is that just about everybody with eyes who knows baseball to some degree, who's following this team, has come to the same conclusion. They're not well managed. They're not well run. There are other teams on a very low budget that do much better, that are much more successful than this team. It takes special people to win when you have those handcuffs put on you. It's not impossible. We see it happen. But it ain't happening with these guys. So change has got to happen. Everyone agrees on that. But then once the change happens, the clock gets reset to zero, and we've got to wait again and hope that the next people that come in are better.
If the clock were to get set to zero today, Pony, we would, on the usual timeline that these things happen...
What is it, another five-year plan?
We would be in year 20 of the fans' existence when we hoped it came to fruition.
That's what I mean. That's what's so depressing about it.
Yeah, there's no quick fixes for a team like the Pirates once it's obviously spoiled and gone rotten. And every acknowledgement of that where it blows everybody out and brings new people in, I think at minimum you're looking at 3 years usually to get it done right. Everyone wants, I know this because I see the comments. People want us to talk more about Bob Nutting's role. You know what's something I feel like doesn't get said enough? He's the one who hired Ben Cherington. That very simple fact. He made a terrible, terrible hire of Ben Cherington. Now, you can also say he has compounded that by refusing to fire him when it was pretty obviously warranted. He hired a lemon, a guy who won one World Series and will never be able to take that away from him. And Ben Cherington has been a last place merchant for virtually the entire rest of his tenure as a GM.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Everywhere he's gone.
Tucker missed it from 47. This is a 50-yard attempt. He had been Mr. Automatic throughout his career. 50-yarder, Tucker. The struggles are real. This is not the same guy that we've seen the last 12 years.
And you might not see him play a 13th. Justin Tucker, minutes ago, released by the Ravens. Despite the off-field allegations, I mean, you don't even factor those in. You just strictly look at it from a football perspective. Not anywhere close to the guy he used to be. Those two misses in that game here at Heinz Field in November cost the Ravens that game. And then you compare that to Chris Boswell, who made all of his kicks in that game and long ones too. Didn't score a touchdown. They beat Baltimore at home. Difference in that game was the kicker. And that was a competitive advantage for the Ravens for years. Tucker has the highest field goal percentage made kicks in NFL history at 89.1%. Last year, it was down to 73.3%. The Ravens drafted a kicker. And today they decided, you know what? Tucker makes a lot of money. He's 36. All this out there with massage therapists and stuff he allegedly did back in 2012 to 2016. We don't need it anymore. They're claiming that this is strictly a football decision. We know it's not. It's taking all those things into account. So
here's very obviously the truth. They're saying it's a football decision. It wasn't at least 100% one, if not a lot less. It's definitely less than 100% and possibly a lot less than that. Because of his history, you could have seen them easily staying with him and saying he'll get it back again. But he was bad enough last year where they can say as a franchise it was a football decision and have plausible deniability with people and point to his percentages and just say he's 35 years old. Do kickers often get that much better late into their 30s? Not really.
Boswell is going to be 34. His all-time field goal percentage is 88%. How many guys, like, he's 1.1% off the all-time mark.
You want to see how many people are ahead of him?
Yeah, like, his last 2 years, 93.5%, 93.2%. He led the league and made kicks last year. It's not out of the question that if he's automatic for another 3 or 4 years that he could pass
field goal percentage. Tucker. He is fourth all-time right now. So it's Tucker at 89.1, Butker at 88.6, Eddie Pinheiro, have fun with that as a trivia question, at 88.1.
The Bears kicker?
Eddie Pinheiro. Chris Boswell, 88.02. So, and then Daniel Carlson at 87.5.
He can make up 1%.
He would actually have to hope that Tucker somehow, and I think this is almost an impossibility because I think he's done. Mainly, obviously, because of the allegations swirling around him. He'd have to have Tucker join up somewhere else and be just as bad and be shanking him left and right. Like, that would be his easiest way to do it. But then he's got to hope Butker kicks it horribly for a little while. And he's got to be really good for a couple more years, Boswell does.
I thought Boswell should have been the Steelers' MVP last year. I stand by that.
It's funny. They stood... So just to prove the point that, like, the Ravens certainly didn't have to cut him loose, Boswell... Tucker, I mean. Boswell's had 2 years, especially his 2022, just like in recent vintage, where he was even worse than Tucker was last mm-hmm. year. Then he had the one 2018, he only made 65%. I think
well,
he was
2018,
hurt.
It was
hurt.
So bad, I thought he was going to get cut.
Wasn't he hurt, though, that year? That was the story. Like, that only came out in the wash kind of quietly later that they knew he was hurt, and they stuck by
him.
Because
he went to 2019, and it was basically when he showed up at camp, he was kicking for his job.
Yeah, and then he proceeded the next 3 years to make 92.3% of his kicks. He was just outrageously good.
One of the great finds and pickups in Steelers history.
If you take those two stinker years out for him, he's easily the NFL's all-time most accurate kicker. Just remove 2018 and remove 2022, and he's well
over
90%.
And look, Akershire is not what it used to be.
But he hasn't kicked
the whole time. Not an easy place to kick.
He hasn't kicked the whole time when they've built it up and made it easier.
It's actually interesting to me, and I know obviously the balls have changed and kicking philosophies and everything else. It is interesting to me that kickers and guys that aren't warm weather or dome kickers are all atop that list. It makes it even more impressive to me. Tucker in Baltimore. Arrowhead is outdoors, Kansas City. Kansas City gets cold, gets snow, gets... I mean, they had one of the coldest games of all time, that Chiefs-Dolphins playoff game a couple of years ago.
I have a theory.
Boswell and what? Pinheiro's the guy that kicks in Chicago. It's not like Soldier Field is a walk in the park.
I think those guys are built better to I think it's easier to be a guy who has to learn how to kick well in tough weather and then take that skill into domes where comparatively it's just easy and it's little thought involved than it is to do the opposite, don't you? If you're kicking for the Falcons or the Saints and guaranteed 9 or 10 games a year are either in a dome or in like very good outdoor weather, don't you think it's harder to be that guy and then have to go, okay, 3 times a year I have to go to a crap weather place?
It's like, you're right.
Being a golfer who's like used to playing in bad weather in the links or
something. Or I was going to say it's like a runner who trains at altitude. When you're at sea level, it feels a lot easier.
Well, that's why every one of the people who wins the marathons now are generally from Ethiopia or Kenya, because they train in the highlands, which is like 10,000 feet. And that's just their like normal casual running.
Donnie, you want to train to run the marathon next year with me?
I brought it up earlier. You want to know part.
Well, if we do the legs thing.
What if we did a relay team for the station?
I was going to say, I would do a relay or a half. There's no shot
the
of
half,
the 26er.
The half is sneaky because you can trot through it and everything, but your toes are still going
to
be
turned
into
hamburger.
So
how many people do we need to do the team?
Five.
Four, five?
We need five.
Okay, so the three of us.
So there's two bad. I would, if we did this, although my neighborhood wants to do it again, so they'd be mad at me. If we did this, I would volunteer to run what I already know to be the worst leg of the
race. Okay, so the three of us.
I think
Crowley, even though he's not like a supreme athlete, I think he actually does run.
We got to have Crowley run, I think, later in the race, because it's like people just trying to get these marathon people who are really just trotting by that point, most of them, over the finish line. There's a lot of people handing out small cups of beer to like as like almost a joke. That's where Crowley's going to like really he'll shine.
Doran's out because he's got football injuries. I don't think he could
run five or six miles anymore.
Also
tell you, like any football player, he trains specifically to go for like 10 to 12 second bursts of speed and
yeah,
power.
I've heard him say before he has zero care in the world to actually run.
I feel like
distance.
I've asked Ryan Clark about that a long time ago, and he's like, if guys transition to that, it's well after their career, like Fanica.
Like Fanica,
because when you're playing, you don't want those.
So then, who would make
refined.
Sense to be?
Bechtold's skinny. Does he run?
He runs a wiffle ball league. I don't know. I think we could. I think he would do it. I don't know how good he would be, though.
Does it have to be fan personal? I mean, I was going
to
say Amy Mock, who of course is like the fixer in this building.
On air.
Hathorne? Can you imagine Zangrilli running? I think that's the funniest
one. In his pantyloafers?
Yeah, Dan would just have a pair of wingtips on.
412-928-9370. Jason Mackey saying that being in the Pirates clubhouse this weekend was the most depressing it had ever been in all his years of covering the team, and he was around two 100-loss teams. Do you share that feeling about the Pirates? Is this the most depressed you've ever been as a fan? 412-928-9370. Here's Ed. Hello, Ed.
Hey, Andrew. How you doing?
Hey, man. Malsy's here, too. You want to say hi to him?
Yeah, hi, Chris. And hey, hi, Donnie also.
Hello, Ed.
The depression? I think we've went beyond depression. I think it comes to disgust, bewilderment. I've seen it in the San Diego games, mm-hmm. these three past games. There's no life. There's no heart. I think these guys are so used to losing that they don't know how to win anymore. And I think Derek Shelton's just sitting there, okay, it is what it is, and letting everything go.
I think that's closer to the truth than I want to admit that it is. Ed,
he showed more energy giving me the evil eye when we were out at dinner than he did on the Pirates.
He was thinking harder about that. Ed, have you ever heard of the five stages of grief?
Yes, I have, and my solution to that is Derek Shelton off the bench, put John Wehner in there that knows Pittsburgh baseball, and bring these men back to life like Leland did, like Hurdle did. That's how you need to play baseball.
That's the second guy that suggested Wehner. I think sometimes when people call in and say things like Chris Hoke should replace Mike Tomlin as Steelers head coach, and I obviously am not a Tomlin guy, but I kind of like chortle at that.
It belies the sheer amount of work that goes into being an NFL
head coach. I actually believe if you let John, left him alone and the GM didn't make him do everything, and I don't think John would take
the
job
baseball team
without like being able to have agency to do what he wants. I think Wehner would 100% be a better manager than Shelton. Like, I don't...
He probably has a better feel for the bullpen right off the
better
bat.
Better feel for the game,
better
period.
Feel for the game overall. I think guys who... And this is no shot at John. I want to make this extremely clear. John would admit, not like an all-star level player or anything. I think guys who played the game as utility guys or, you know, on a 25-man roster, is he man 21 or something like that?
Well, right, like Leland, he never made it out of the minor leagues.
But you have to have, like, a good feel for the game is my point, because you're not going to stick in the big leagues as a player.
Good point.
In the first place if you don't. By the way, I tried to say, like, have you ever heard of the five stages of grief? Because, like, it's depression's the fourth one and acceptance is the final one. His solution was, oh, I've heard of him. Here's the solution. Get the Rock in there. Get him from Carrick.
Here's Bob next. Hello, Bob.
Hey, guys, long-time Pirate fan here, and I've never been as listless and less interested in the Pirates than I have this year. I mean, the fact that they have a great pitcher and they have a potentially really good pitching staff, and the fact that he did absolutely nothing over the winter to make you think that, okay, hey, we've got some hitting, you could see this coming. It was ridiculous. I think that's my first point. Second point is, I think the talent acquisition of the Pirates has been abysmal for decades. And I don't know who the farm director is or who those people are or the, you know, Charrington or whatever. I think it's just been horrible.
Well, thank you, Bob. That's actually something that like doesn't get talked about enough. When Ben was hired, he didn't clean house as far as, you know, who was running their minor leagues and who was running their drafts.
He blew out Larry Broadway eventually as farm director and replaced him with John
Baker. And they made
Baker.
Some changes to, like, international scouting now this past offseason.
Joe Delacorte is still their scouting director.
Right. It's been a slow drip with that stuff. So it's not like Ben came in, new sheriff in town, got all his people in here, and, you know, we can blame it all on them. Like, there were holdovers from a regime that, yes, was very successful originally, but then failed at the tail end. And I don't think that's very smart. When you have like two different philosophies, at times I would think conflicting or not really being in lockstep with each other. So
Delacorte has been their scouting director, Pony, since 2012. Can you even name the guy he took over for? Kyle Stark was the farm director at this point in time. Then he eventually gave way to Larry Broadway, because I remember people were very frustrated by Kyle Stark. I feel like Deion might have had a few
Jack
battles.
Sorensic?
Greg Smith.
Oh, yeah. He's the guy that got credit for finding Justin Verlander in Detroit.
And then it was Ed Creech in 07, the last year of
Rays. Bouncing ball, third. Machado's going to throw to the plate and get him out.
Arm talent.
Wow.
Arm talent.
Manny Machado playing a deep third. Instead of throwing to first, he throws to the plate, keeps the shutout intact.
Love Greg, but that's not even the, you know, the story of that play is not Machado's arm. It's what Matt Gorski did, starting, stopping, and then going home there with one out in the fifth inning there as the Pirates blunders galore. 12-23, they're on pace to win 56 games. In a 162-game season, they've never won fewer than 57, so it would be the worst season ever if they keep up at this rate. The fan of the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball and softball showcase. Maybe they could get some pointers. Presented by Sheetz. Parents and coaches, send an email. Does it youthsports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team, and 93.7 The Fan could be making a stop to you at your field. Details at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. I agree with what Zangrilli said when he was leaving the studio. I think because fans had expectations for year six of a regime, not so much that they had expectations from the offseason and the moves that didn't get made, but this is the time in a cycle of trying to build a team where you're supposed to be good.
This is actually 5 years, I think, is usually where you're supposed to start being good. And then the sixth year is really, I think, where you're supposed to like like put it all together.
Now they'll say, oh, 2020 doesn't count because of COVID. Okay, oh. Fine. It's still five. This is going on the fifth year, and the Rockies and White Sox are the only teams worse than you. This was a great stat that was forwarded.
Actually, okay, hold on. 2020 doesn't count, Pony. Didn't they draft like Jared Jones in 2020 in the second round? Got to take him away then. Let's wipe away 2020 completely.
This is a stat that was posted by ForTheCity_412 on Twitter. The Pirates have a team slug percentage of .335. Steven Brault in his career had a slugging percentage of .337.
Seems good.
They're hitting as a team worse than one of their pitchers from the last 10 years, and now a guy that is on all their telecasts.
It's pretty repugnant.
They lead the league in double plays. They lead the league in shutouts, six.
Fewest home run. The Rockies are one of the worst baseball teams I've ever seen.
Ever assembled.
The Pirates still have two fewer home runs. Now, that's probably because the Rockies play their games in a launching pad. The Pirates are dead last in slugging percentage, again behind the Rockies. The only thing that they are not dead last in is OPS, because the Rockies are horrible at getting on base. The other thing that is just so bad about this, the Pirates are the fourth oldest team in the National League on average. There are only three teams, Phillies, Padres, Dodgers, and the Dodgers are just studded with superstars. And the Pirates are average age almost 30, Pony,
Chris,
of their batters.
They're 12-23. They're in last place. They're, what, nine games out on May 5th?
Yeah.
They're playing Tommy Pham again tonight. They've got Jared Triolo at shortstop again tonight.
What's the problem?
Gorski had two hits yesterday. Now, he had a base running mistake, but hey, he fits right in
with
everybody.
He had two hits. Put him in the lineup.
He had two hits. He had a triple.
So they're going to punish him, but they won't punish other guys?
And they called Pagero up from AAA, and you're going to play a 37-year-old over Gorski and Triolo, who's a utility man, over a younger shortstop than your organization. I don't get it. They stress all the time about how process is so important.
They don't have
one. Their process blows.
What is their process? Explain to me what their process is. Tell me, like, cohesively and coherently what you see their process.
Here's Cherrington doing his best to do that.
Well, you need to be urgent every day and not in a rush. We shouldn't be patient. We should not be patient about getting better.
Hold on,
better
stop
today.
It. Whatever stop it really is. Quick. You need to be urgent every day, but not in a rush.
All right. Thanks, John Wooden. Appreciate it, Confucius. Thank you
Come
for
on,
that.
Come on, man. No, that's like dime store wisdom crap.
It certainly starts with me. It doesn't end with me. That's got to extend to everybody on our team, players, staff, our travel, et cetera. We all have to be urgent and not patient about getting better. What are the things we can do to make our own jobs a little bit better today in a way that adds up to wins long term? We got to do that. So let's not be patient about it. You have to be disciplined enough and allow others to help you stay disciplined enough not to be rushed into something that would be a mistake and actually make things worse.
I could keep playing.
Does that clip come with a free CPAP machine?
It keeps going.
Dude, there was something in there. We've got to do a little bit better every day and have that all add up to wins. God, I want to throw my headphones.
It's and Ben
I
came Stein in think, from Ferris Bueller.
I came in thinking.
Anyone? The tariff bill, the Hawley Smoot Tariff Act, which anyone raised or lowered? Raised.
Yeah,
you know that was named after Chuck Hawley, the linebacker for the Cowboys, losing effort in the Super Bowl,
but still won the Super Bowl MVP. Right. Very well done, Molly.
I'm sorry, man. It takes a lot for me, a guy who said they'd win 74 games. I was not a member of the illustrious and exclusive 84 Club 84.
That would be Dan Zangrilli and Jason Mackey.
Yep. I think Jason started his own club, Club 85. I thought they were going to be mediocre to bad. That they have managed to disappoint and depress me to this degree where I'm lashing out at just these inane word salad comments from the general manager, and it is not yet Mother's Day, is an incredible achievement of futility on their part.
412-928-9370. Here is Nate on the fan. Hello, Nate.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
It's all right, Nate.
I agree, Chris. It's all right. You mentioned the five stages of grief earlier. I am at acceptance, and let me tell you why. If you put a kid in a room with white walls and you gave the kid a box of crayons and you came back and the room had coloring all over the walls, would you blame the kid or would you blame the person that gave them the crayons?
the person who gave him the crayons. Easy.
Right. So we talk about Ben Sherrington. We talk about Derek Shelton, and I get it. There's really not much you can say about the owner not being willing to spend, but I think the better question is to who is to blame here, which you can only talk about in so many ways and say so many different times, is the guy that put those guys in place and gave them the payroll resources that he gave them. Because answer this question for me. Would Andrew Friedman and Dave Roberts and the rest of the Dodgers management and front office be able to come into the Pirates organization today with the team that they have, with the resources that they have, and win?
With the team that they have, no. But with the resources, I think if you gave Friedman 5 years, he could win in Pittsburgh. Why not? He did it in Tampa.
With fewer resources.
I don't think so. I don't think
so. But Neil Huntington did it.
Well, right. Yeah,
Neil Huntington actually
exactly.
He came into an equally, almost as bad situation. Actually a worse situation than Sherrington inherited. And granted, it took a little while, but the guy had a 94, 88, and 98 win team in three consecutive years.
Yeah, only how do you reconcile that?
Only Nate? One team in baseball won more regular season games than them in that span. It just happened to be the team in their division.
We reached the divisional series once in that three-year span. I believe got to the wild card, didn't get past the wild card.
I understand that, but to the extent that Major League Baseball's playoffs are a small sample size crapshoot, they were a very successful regular season outfit. They were a well-built team to be that good for three straight years in the regular season. You can't not be well-built because of how baseball is. That's the point we're refuting here.
Yeah,
somebody,
you don't fluke your way into 98
somebody
wins.
Actually came in here and did what you're describing, and it wasn't Andrew Friedman, baseball genius. It was Neil Huntington, who people were rightfully and understandably ready to get rid of when it finally happened.
I'd like to know the last inflation-adjusted team under $100 million in payroll that was successful in the playoffs. Not in the regular season, in the playoffs. Bob Nutting's not giving his management and his front office the resources.
Sure.
It would help a whole hell of a lot if we got players Pete Alonso, who signed a $54 million contract, Tyler O'Neill, who signed a $50 million contract.
Don't
sign those players.
No, we don't. But is your definition of successful as binary as if you win the World Series, you're successful? If you don't, you're unsuccessful?
It's winning in the playoffs. I'm not going to go as far as to say winning the World Series. That
okay, well, how about the Rays going to a World Series, and if not for Kevin Cash pulling Blake Snell in a game, they would have beaten the Dodgers and won the whole thing.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.